Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
If I was a young assistant coach, you need to plant seeds. Getting a job is exactly who you know. It's not about your ability. It's not about your work ethic. Once you get the job, you're going to have to perform, but it's about a relationship.
This podcast is brought to you by Rising Coaches. Visit risingcoaches.com/membership to learn more about the Rising Coaches membership and become part of the fastest growing community in basketball. We launched just 6 months ago and already have over 950 coaches involved with Rising Coaches as full-time members. It's $120 a year to join. And what do you get for it? Community, relationships, and development. That's what we're all about. This is a hard profession. As you know, there's no straight paths. And being part of a community and a support system that knows exactly what you're going through is invaluable. Relationships. We're all about putting our members in position to create genuine, authentic relationships with other coaches in the profession. The more coaches you know, the more relationships, genuine relationships that is, that you have, the better chances you will have of succeeding in the profession, both personally and professionally. And then, of course, development. We provide tools and resources to help our coaches work on their craft. Twice a day, we hold Zoom sessions with different coaches and leaders who come in and talk to our group. You'll have access to all of those sessions, as well as over 10 years worth of conference notes and videos from our Rising Coaches events since 2010. Visit risingcoaches.com/membership for more information. If I asked you who the most influential person in college basketball is, who would you say? If Dana Pump doesn't come to mind, then you don't know your history. Dana and David Pump are two of the most influential people in college and grassroots basketball for the last 30 plus years. The Pump brothers have been involved in everything that touches basketball, from AAU tournaments, exposure camps, recruiting services, ticket sales, MTEs, search firms, and much more. In addition to everything they've done to impact the game of basketball behind the scenes, they have also dedicated their lives to an even bigger cause. The Harold and Carol Pump Foundation has raised over $8.5 million for the fight against cancer. We talk at length about Dana's legacy and how he's had so much success building relationships with people from all different walks of life. And his mantra, it's all about relationships. We talk about how he and his brother got introduced to the game of basketball and how they started as 16 and 17-year-olds running their own camps and recruiting services. The mentorship they received from Sonny Vaquero. To Dana's thoughts on the game today, what can be done to fix it, and his advice for young coaches in the profession. This is the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm Adam Gordon, and this is Dana Pump.
And when you, when we were in the camp business, you know, it's funny, my brother and I, we would say, we would when kids get dropped off from Alaska or wherever, and they could bring the camp bus over, we would greet the kids personally. And me and David had a saying, it's the first 10 seconds when a parent, you know, pulls up and hear the Pump brothers greeting their child. And it's a first impression. And we took a passion in everything we did. We've always hired really good people, Phil, Brian, and Jan, that were tremendous workers, and they just were doers. And I just think if you have a real passion, you'll be a lot more successful.
Yeah, and I think one of the people working for you at the time was John Impelman, who, of course, has gone on to do great things. And
I have a lot of great stories. One of the best. You know, John is definitely an incredible worker. Obviously, worked his balls off. You know, Scott Garson worked with Majerus, a real doer. You know, Jeff Strom, T.J. Osenberger lived with me for a couple years, head coach at UNLV. And those guys are definitely all workers, and, you know, they just get after it, and they have a great passion for the game. The game has really changed in so many different aspects. Social media has played a big part of you know, kids wanting to get a commitment, and coaches will just say, we offered, you know. I remember it was a big deal when you were offered from a school. I like to share a really good story. Roy Williams, I spoke to the other day, gave me an auction item, you know, to go to a game. And Roy was recruiting Harold Miner. And Coach Smith was very private on recruiting. I wonder, like, in today's day. So Harold Miner was at Slam and Jam, goes down, makes a dunk. I said, Coach Williams, are you guys recruiting him? Dana, Coach Smith, we don't discuss recruiting. A couple of minutes later, Harold Miner hits like a three-pointer. I said, boy, you must love him at Carolina. Dana, Coach Smith says we don't discuss recruiting. But now, you know, everything is social media posting, and, you know, it's really changing. I tell you, Loyola Marymount has done a great job on their social media. You should really go on it. And they've hired a company that Duke used, because Stan Johnson was a Marquette, and then Wojo was with. They do a great job on just getting stuff out there.
Absolutely. Greg Yankovsky is one of their assistants. He's one of our legacy members. He, of course, was at UCLA with your guy, Coach Cronin. So, yeah, we love those guys. Greg's been certainly great to us and our organization. All right, Dana, let's get into these stories and stuff. Can you talk a little bit about your kind of path into the game of basketball, you know, starting from the beginning, and how you've kind of impacted.
So we were 16, 17 years old. We started our basketball camp, the Dana Pump Basketball Camp. It was for little kids. And those little kids were Lamont Murray that ended up playing in the NBA. The O'Bannons were little kids. The Murrays, Tracy and Cameron. I would have to say Tracy's one of my top two or three greatest high school players I ever saw. So we were at Campbell Hall, first camp. And there was Mike Dunlap, former LMU coach, was the camp director. Sylvie Dominguez, Mark Godfrey was at UCLA as an assistant. Lorenzo Romar, they were all camp coaches. And I go back to everything's about relationships. So we're young kids, me and my brother, at the time, we were with LA Gear, you know. And here we are, you know, handing out shoes with the lights on them. But we planted a lot of seeds with a lot of incredible relationships. And I'll use that word a lot. So from that, the day camp, we started the first junior college basketball camp. That was amazing. It was at Fresno. We had everyone there in that gym. And it was the first time we had junior college kids where guys could come and see that. That was a big deal, you know, our junior college camp. And then Sonny Vaquero, who's been my mentor, and David, we started the big time basketball tournament in Vegas, and, you know, Kobe, they all played in it, and that was incredible. And then from there, we started our scouting service, California Cage Report. And then from there, we started EA Sports, you know, like Athletes in Action, our travel team. And then we started the Pump and Run team. And it goes back to everything. It's all about the relationship, getting games, schools to play us. So we said, we're going to start a retreat. And our retreat was great because coaches wanted to come. First year, we had Coach Wooden, Larry Brown, Ronnie Law talked about winning. And it was like a learning tree like Nike has now. You know, they have their thing that they bring in coaches. So we started that years ago, and then we'd bring athletic directors in. And that was, it's all about relationships. That's how you get jobs. So it's so funny. I brought a young AD out. It was associate AD, two of them. Mike Hamilton was at Tennessee, and Damon Evans was at Georgia. And Mike Hamilton called me one time and said, Dana, you know, I hear you're starting a search firm. It goes back to relationships. And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I'm going to need some help here. And at the time, I convinced the former president of the NCAA, Cedric Dempsey, to work for me and work with me. And we did the Tennessee search. And it's so funny. there, and we ended up hiring Bruce Pearl, and I had a relationship with Bruce. My early AAU teams, he recruited AC Earl from Iowa that was on my team. And then from there, we went to Mississippi. Pete Boone hired me. We hired Andy Kennedy. And here I am in a private plane. I went to the Missouri Valley Conference tournament to go meet people. And, you know, I think that was a good time. You know, and then all these other search firms that really weren't part of the game would hire the president, and then they would get jobs going forward. So it was hard to compete. And then obviously Eddie Fogler, who's been really successful because he has a good heartbeat of the game of basketball and what's going on. So that, you know, that just led. Then we started the hospitality ticket business. If you look back, the NCAA started their own ticket business, Prime Sport on location. So we always were one step ahead, finding other revenue streams. And we're starting the MTs right now for the following year, doing, you know, the exempt tournaments and stuff like that. But the game of basketball, like if I was a young assistant coach, you need to plant seeds. You need, most kids don't come from their uncles, Coach K or Roy Williams. Getting a job is exactly who you know. It's not about your ability. It's not about your work ethic. Once you get the job, you're going to have to perform, but it's about a relationship. And I would tell guys, don't wait to call the guy that's going to get the job at LMU tomorrow. He's already got his staff. They should be working relationships now for 5 years from now, or figuring out who's going to be the next guy's wave of coaches that are going to get jobs. Recruit them. Cultivate them. It's like a plant. You got to plant the seed. You got to water the plant. And you got to nurture it. It's like our foundation. I don't go to people once a year for money. I'm cultivating it throughout the year. I'm touching it. I'm, you know, maybe take them to a basketball game. But you got to recruit people, and it's a very competitive business out there.
How do you provide value to those people that you're trying to cultivate a relationship with when you're not, when you haven't arrived and don't right. have a ton to give?
Information, players in their area. Hey, Coach Izzo, you know, I live in Mississippi and I coach at, you know, Mississippi State. I'm a grad assistant. You know, my dad's uncle, they have an elite kid. I think information, I think FaceTime is everything. At the Final Four, set up coffee. People don't want to do lunches. It's too long. Hey, coach, can I have coffee with you for 5 minutes? Yeah, I go to 30. But say it like that. I think people want people to be recruited. And I think, you know, what me and David did, we were always recruiting people. 1 year we made bobbleheads. So we knew we were on the desk of most coaches. So they were always seeing the pumps. And then 1 year we did ties. And in back of the tie, we put double pump. And we were always recruiting people. And then that's how the scouting service, you know, the relationships. And if I'm a young coach, you got to build your network. A very dear friend of mine, another dear guy that I give a lot of success with, Brian Hamill. His son, Troy, was a good Division II player, and we got him hooked up with David Patrick at Riverside, and he just took a job with Colorado Christian. And I was explaining to Troy, he's got to build his network. David Patrick is his one champion in the pumps, but he's got to have a lot more going forward. I think recruiting. I think for like Troy to call all the schools in Denver and Wyoming, the Division I's, and build that relationship with those schools, guys that are gonna not good enough to go to Wyoming, or guys that live locally that want to go, and then all of a sudden he's working those relationships and scheduling, meeting guys through scheduling. I think when teams come to the city, just getting FaceTime with one of the assistants. And that's how me and David started. Started on a plane ride. We started a scouting service. David flew to the Nike camp in New Jersey, and David was on a connection. And back then, when teams went to the NCAA, they got watches. And David says, Dana, I think I met this coach who's assistant at Virginia. His name was Jim Larinaga, and he's going to drive me to camp. And, you know, we didn't have any money then. He says, he's going to let me sleep on his floor. And that's how I met Jim Larinaga. And his son Jay went to my camps as a kid. And Jim has been a dear friend. And one summer, him and Terry Holland came out here with their wives. And Ben just got the UCLA job. And we went and had a great barbecue in Santa Barbara together. And once again, those relationships.
And you guys were like 16 when you started all of this?
Yeah.
So you were 16-year-old kids just going around kind of meeting people and hustling.
Yeah, you know, had no idea what we were doing. And, you know, we were raised with real values. And, you know, and the game's been great to us. I mean, we have great stories of, you know, like with the exhibition games. One night we were playing Roy Williams. Next night we were playing Coach K. And we did that for like 7 years. So, I mean, just the access and the relationships. And so many of the kids that played on the pump and run team were all over the NBA. Still today, you know, when you think of James Harden, a future Hall of Famer, Paul George, Klay Thompson, Trevor Ariza, Mario. I mean, we had so many kids at an elite level. When we were really rolling, we'd had pump and run teams in like 10 states, Kansas City pump and run, Iowa, and we had a great brand at one time. It wasn't as competitive like now when you have Bryant Silver, Under Armour, Nike's, you know, wasn't really aggressive back then. And I just think we were ahead of our time in the game of basketball.
Did you guys ever want to coach, or did it's you so always funny. Have – seems like you have the entrepreneurial spirit.
I was so. Lee Dixon. I say, Jamie, you worked under me defensively. And it's so funny. Jamie Dixon was a great player. And him and John Welch is with the Clippers were really good, you know, overachievers like Doug Gottlieb was self-made. And Jamie came back from New Zealand. Jamie had some games at 60 points. And we're in the gym at Valley. I say, why don't you come work with us at Valley College? Then David and I connect them with Ben Howland. He goes to Santa Barbara. And then from Santa Barbara, he goes to Pittsburgh with Ben. And at the time, Jamie couldn't even get the Montana State job or nothing. And then, boy, what a great run he's had. And Ben Howland has definitely had. You know, Ben was in my wedding, and those guys go back, you know, 30 years. Marvin Menzies, you know, Gib Arnold. We really go back a long time with those relationships.
You seem like you really get your passion from connecting people, being a connector rather than,
yeah,
you know.
No question. That was, you know, that was our, at that time, that's what we wanted to do. But then the game really changed. It got really over. There'll never be those great AAU teams again because there's too many teams, and it's a different time. But that's fine. But at the time when we were involved, we had a great run, and we had great people around us. You know, Christian Aran is great high school coach from Simi Valley. Dave Rabibo, the head coach of Harbor Westlake. You know, we just had great people. It's one thing my brother and I would always do is find really good people around us.
Okay, so going back to the timeline here. So 16-year-old kids running around getting all this started. At what point did you guys link up with your mentor that you mentioned, Sonny Vaccaro?
Kept writing Sonny Vaccaro letters because you wrote letters back then. And he would send me Nike product for my camps. That was a big deal. The T-shirt with Nike and the Pump Brothers name in the front. You know, we thought we were big time. And then we'd have camps, and we got in front of Sonny. You know, Sonny at one time was a big deal, man. He was giving all these coaches money, big money. And, you know, he opened up a lot of doors for my brother and I, him and his wife, Pam. And, it's, once again, it goes about relationships. When I would have exhibition games, when Sonny made a call to play us, the game was done. Sonny had a lot of influence. Sonny helped a lot of young coaches from the Dapper Dan Classic. And, he was definitely one of our sources of influence for us. He was a champion for the Pump Brothers.
What were anything like in particular that you took away or learned from him?
Sonny was really loyal, extremely loyal. And his loyalty was amazing. He was good to so many different guys. Guys, it was a big deal to work the ABCD camp. It was a big deal to be on the bench of the ABCD camp, or the Dapper Dan. And I just think he championed so many young coaches, so many guys. He got so many guys in the camp that are coaches now. And, he was a big influence. And George Raveling was, without a doubt. And they were best man at each other's wedding and not the best of friends right now. But, George paved the way for so many young coaches. And, George has been a great friend. And, we have the same DNA. He likes to have a good meal. He likes to, he's always – it's so amazing how vibrant he is at his age. Jim Herrick's another amazing friend. I've known Jim a long time. Who's actually in his 80s now, helping out Coach Godfrey. I live in Northridge, and Mark lives down the street from me. And, that's my alma mater, and we have a lot of fun with those guys. And it's amazing Jim's mind at 82 and just the game of basketball. And, I think it's so great. Like, Tarkanian took a really liking in me and my brother after UNLV, and we had a lot of fun with Coach. Coach was a real genius. But he had a great staff. Gergerich is the best coach, teacher of the game ever. He had Mark Workington, and he had some great coaches, and they just outworked people. And what a great memories with Tark and a lot of the older guys, because of Sonny's influence, would let us go to the Nike trip. And, I would see a lot of guys, we're all older now, but it's been a great run, man. I remember Tark used to let me and David, when he was at UNLV, kind of big timed us, but he would let us sit behind the bench, row A. And that's when the Rebels were the real Rebels. I used to go to Vegas, the John Farrell basketball tournament. You're too young. And then, the Pumps and, Slam and Jam. And, we used to have tournaments in Vegas. There was only one tournament in Vegas. And it was a fun time.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about evaluation of players. Because I know that's – you see more players than anybody, especially back then when you're running all these tournaments. Where do you think people, either make mistakes or really thrive in that area?
Make mistakes. Paul George played for us, committed to Jason Ludwig at Santa Clara. No. Committed to Jason Ludwig at committed to Pepperdine because his sister went there. Committed to Santa Clara, and he goes to Fresno State. And, Tracy McGrady was – no one knew about him until he came to ABCD. So there's been a lot of kids in L.A., people just missed the boat out. I mean, I can just look at James Harden. He wasn't like Keith Van Horn. Remember him? Went to
sure.
I played for Coach Majerus. I mean – unbelievable, just slipped through the cracks. I think now it's getting tougher and tougher. There's so much exposure, social media, so many camps. every kid's on the AAU team now. But guys develop. It's amazing. I mean, I think, you know, we would have the elite kids. So we knew we had good kids. But there were some – what was the kid's name at Fresno State? He went to our camps. Johnson, that went to Miami, got $80 million for 4 years. I think they released him. You know, those are certain situations. But I look at like when Trevor Ariza, he was an elite kid. And I think coaches – you know, like Majerus did a great job of developing players. Tark did a great job, like with Stacey Augman, Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony. They did a great job developing teams. But if you look back, I mean, I think evaluating is important, but I think coaching is really important. You know, there's a lot of really good teachers of the game. I mean, Coach Majerus developed a lot of great players. That were, you know, Andre Miller was a prop 48, you know, and developed all those guys. And I think, you know, right now the exposure is so high, you know, kids are all everywhere. You can watch every AAU game on TV. So if I'm a coach and I'm recruiting, I'm calling a Hunter Ryan Silvers, who I consider champions, are influencers, and checking in with those guys, that's where the recruiting's gone now. And then I think, you know, coaching's a big deal, developing guys. I mean, you look at what Randy Bennett has done, amazing. Evaluating guys, finding the right fit guys, plays in the high school gym. Randy Bennett has done an amazing job.
Absolutely. Okay. You talk about all the exposure, the social media. I think that's probably played a little part in, you know, the transfer rate, which is, you know, at all-time highs. Certainly the NCAA is going through transition and, you know, has fought the likeness and image deal for a long time and finally gave in. You know, there's clearly things – you know, with the game of college basketball that are like awry. How would you fix it? Or you know, what in your mind, you've been around the game so long, you probably have as good an insight on this as anybody. You know, what do you think should be done?
I think the train's left the track.
Right.
I think money is so rich right now. So you're making $4 million. You got to get the kid eligible. What do? Got to get him eligible. Are we doing correspondence? Are we going gray? You know, it's crazy. Like, kids want to, you know, we spoiled them in AAU basketball. Mom and dad went to all the road trips. What do you mean? They go to college? You're not bringing my mom to the Cal game? I mean, on the road? You know, that's a tough one. I think – It's going crazy. The money's so rich. Assistant coaches making real money now. TV exposure. Jeez, I mean, I just think it's it's really frustrating. Like the people they put out with these rules never really have a heartbeat for the game. You know that group they put together. It's really strange. You know, I would find coaches, former ADs that have a heartbeat and a pulse of college basketball. You know, they make some of these rules. I remember you can't call recruits. Everyone had a bat phone, but there wasn't really common sense there. You know, I think they should get more people that are involved in the game, former coaches or administrators, and make rules that are, you know, smart. It's so crazy now with, I mean, the legalized cheating is going to be so rapid. I say legalize. They'll find sponsors that are connected to the university that want to win. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, we got in those exhibition games, and then, you know, me and Dave used to call it was legalized cheating. You know, a school, UConn, I remember, would do a game and tell the guy, bring 10 guys, we're going to give you 30 grand. But by the way, we want your kid. It was all legal, but it was like legalized cheating. And, it's crazy. I mean, it's getting really hard to do things the right way in the game of basketball. Really hard. You know, it's just, but the money's so rich and exposure, you know, it's all about winning. But it's going to be interesting coming back from all this. The salaries are going to stay the same. Say you don't have basketball. You don't have your season ticket holders. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, no question. Any thoughts on, you know, the transfer rules that are being discussed now, letting kids transfer right away?
Right.
Do you think that's a good idea, a bad idea?
No, terrible. It's AAU basketball. Kid ain't playing. I'm leaving pumped. I'm going to Dinos. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is really crazy. If I was a young coach getting in the profession, try to get in with a really good quality human being. Man, it's really hard to find a good person to ride that horse with, because it's like guys that are in finance and want to work with NBA players. That's a tough business. You don't get business because you're really good. You kind of get business because of who you're working with or who you're, you know, networking with. It's like basketball. It's just so hard to get ahead if you're a young, aspiring coach, you know. And, new rules, terrible. It's just kids are going to be running around left and right. You almost need a full-time coach, like CFO of a university, just to deal with kids that they lost out on recruits, keep recruiting them because they can come back within 6 months. It's a whole different world now. Like, you know, it's like the Wild West.
No question. Okay, shifting gears a little bit now. At what point did you go from, you know, just strictly basketball relationships and cross over into the entertainment industry? Because you guys...
We were just revolving on, always find different revenue streams. And, we pivoted out of basketball, kind of left with it wasn't fun. I didn't have that passion like I did. And, we're chasing guys.
Was that because of the NCAA and that, you know, that issue and just the frustrations of them?
No, we never had a problem with the NCAA. You know, we were with Adidas. We had a long relationship with them. I just think, you know, we're chasing teams for $300, guys bouncing. It just wasn't where I saw us growing a business. And we didn't have fun anymore. And it got real competitive. You know, there was 10 tournaments in Vegas. At one time, we were the only one in Vegas. Or, you know, the best of the summer tournament was the biggest thing at the time. You know, there was too much going on. It was really watered down. All three shoe companies were players and just took the fun out of the game and the passion, and didn't really enjoy like going to the tournaments anymore, and, you know, that whole deal. And it was getting very difficult to get the elite kids back, and there was no loyalty. You know, if they didn't play good one game with us, they'd leave and go to Ryan or go to Dino's. The game really changed.
And so you guys pivoted into entertainment. And what was...
We just found other revenue streams, social media posting with stars and athletes, and just doing so many different things, you know, and working with the former president of Mexico, did a bunch of consulting stuff with him, Vicente Fox, and just consulting with different brands.
Hold on. I gotta ask, like, how do you get hooked up with Vicente Fox, the former president of Mexico?
So my brother and I were at Super Bowl in Dallas, and we seen this big, tall rancher. And Dave goes, oh, my God, it's the president of Mexico. And his wife, Martha, is from where David's – wife was from Michoacan. And he's my next auction. I spend a day with the president in Mexico. We have that. And he's been a great friend. He's been to the charity event several times and a dear, dear friend and a great relationship. So it was an oil and gas situation in Mexico. And a company approached us and we got President Fox involved and consulted with this big oil company. And we've been down to León, Mexico. He's the only Hispanic Mexican with a library. Like in our culture, every former president has a library. He's been great. It's right. been a great relationship.
You guys will go talk to anybody, huh?
If you don't ask, you don't receive.
Yeah, I love it. Have you always been like that?
Always. I'm the aggressive twin. David's more of a passive twin. But what makes Dana is David and David Dana.
You guys really complicated. How's that been working with your brother for all these years?
I just do everything I can. And we've had two of us and, you know, David will connect with Randy Bennett and Ben Helen connects with me, you know, and that's what makes our relationship special. We have some great memories, great, great friendships for 30 years. I mean, I can look at Dino Gaudio, who's on Wake Forest bench. I mean, I go back with him 30 years. I mean, Coach Cal, 30 plus years. You know, most head coaches somewhere were touched with us, lived with us, worked our camps, coaches back then. And game's been great to us.
Okay. Talk to us about the Harold and Carol Pump Foundation and how people can get involved.
My greatest legacy, anytime you can do something special for mom and dad, going to the Harold and Carol Pump Foundation. More importantly, going to charitybuzz.com. It ends here in a few hours. And it's our 20th year. And we had a pivot. And it's an exciting time. And so I'm going to jump off here and get going on that. And I've always felt, Adam, I love helping young people. You know, obviously I was Jewish. You were Jewish. I was involved with the Maccabees. And I just think a lot of people opened up the door for me and my brother and gave us a hand. And if anyone goes out of the way and really wants to reach out, you can reach out on Instagram, Dana Pump or David Pump, and DM us. And I just love helping young people and move forward.
Dana, thanks so much for your time. HaroldPumpFoundation.com is the website, or visit charitybuzz.com/pump. Dana, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like I said at the beginning, you guys have been such a help to us and me personally. So I appreciate your friendship over the years.
You got it, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's LUCEO sports.com.